Om Shanti. So we're looking at the special homework for January 18th on the basis of faith and spiritual intoxication. Father Brahma came to know the guaranteed destiny, and he used everything in a worthwhile way in a second. He didn't keep anything for himself. So the sign of love is to use everything in a worthwhile way. To use something in a worthwhile way means to use it for purpose. January 18th, indeed the whole month of January, is really that chance to look at the most outstanding model that we have in this institution for what exactly is the aim that we're all striving towards. So we look at Brahma Baba, and especially in this particular homework, we're being asked to consider his faith and what he did with that faith, which was basically to be able to turn over everything he had and put it to a highest and most great purpose. So first of all, I'm looking at faith, which is an incredible energy, an incredible power. I have come to work with two questions, especially this month. The first one is, what is it that keeps me going? What is it that keeps me going? And the second question is, what is it that I really, really like about God? What is it that I really, really love about God and would like for my own character, my own personality? And in that first question, what is it that keeps me going? And I invite you all to even stop this recording and think about it yourself, and then we can compare our experiences. But regarding that first question, I saw that there were three things basically that keep me going, although they all fold back down into one. The first thing that keeps me going is just this realization that I have found what I'm looking for. I have found this love that I was looking for. And I want to complete the healing process that it's bringing me. Secondly, I have also finalized a long-term dream of mine, concretized a long-term dream of mine, and that is that all this suffering in the world should now come to an end. So it hasn't yet, but I've found a plan. I found the strategy that I can believe in, which will bring it to an end. And thirdly, what keeps me going is just this overall feeling that something so unimaginably great is going to come out of all such efforts of myself, of this collectivity, of this school. And I want to be part of that greatness. So on all three accounts, it's a work in process. That greatness hasn't yet revealed itself. The full healing that I know will happen through God's love has not yet finished. It's not yet completed itself. And also, of course, the suffering in the world hasn't finished. So what all three of these things fold up into or come down to is my faith that they will. And I have come to see that indeed, like Baba says, faith is what makes us victorious. Faith, more than anything, is what enables us to keep moving forward. More than churning. More than becoming silent, knowing to go into silence and having long periods of silence. It's only to the extent that those cultivate my faith and enable me to work with faith that I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to be able to keep on going, as if one of the greatest victories is not to give up, not to be convinced by Maya that I can't, it's too hard, it's too much, but to keep on going, to keep on going. So what is this faith? Baba's faith was unimaginable. Every kind of challenge came in front of him, and he had no one to model what to do in front of him. The daddies had Brahma Baba. We have the daddies, but he had no one in front of him. So his faith was extraordinary. So stable, so powerful, so unshakable in front of every kind of challenge. Outer, for sure, but also even inner. He would have had his own sanskaras to face and overcome. But then also, on a physical, material level, how he was able to give everything of his through his faith. So, how did that happen? How did Baba end up with such a faith? Because I've always understood that we do arrive at the doorstep of our Brahmin life and our great destiny, an awareness of our great destiny, with faith. But then it has to be cultivated, it has to be developed. What we arrive with would never be, which is what our whole Brahmin experience would be all about, as if everything, every challenge, every Murali, every aspect of our four subjects is really only for one thing, and that is to develop my faith so that I also can be absolutely unshakable in front of whatever are the scenes, whatever karmic accounts I have, but also to do, even with my material possessions, what Brahma Baba was able to do. If I imagine Brahma Baba, one thing that emerges for me is how relieved he must have been, first of all, to understand Baba's message, that as much as there were to be terrible scenes in the drama, God is present to make everything all right again. I imagine Brahma Baba was a very responsible, very successful businessman. He knows what it means to have responsibility and take up responsibility. He was such a beloved member of a very powerful community, an active, responsible member. He knows what responsibility is. So I like to imagine what was his relief to understand that such a responsibility, the creation of heaven here on earth, a true creation of a new world was going to be a shared responsibility. Or not even so much shared, but actually not his, but Shiv Baba's. I really do feel that our faith can grow the most when we're really able to come into this realization that I am not in charge anymore. Baba has come. God has come. And he's the one in charge. He's the one in control. It's his responsibility. In other words, to learn, really, even though I'm in an adult body, that I am first and foremost in this new birth, a child. And I don't have to resolve anything. He's here for that. And we are in a partnership. Unconfined. So I've really come to believe that as much as I practice just being the child, I get to practice, I get to deepen my faith. Because after all, what does faith mean? It really means just a willingness to wait. A willingness, especially when there are difficulties, especially when there are karmic accounts, people are saying, doing things you would have never imagined, or even inside me are all sorts of feelings and thoughts that I would have never even imagined. In those moments, just to be willing to wait. I don't really understand what's going on. I really don't have the whole picture and I don't know a next step. But to trust the drama so much, trust my relationship with Baba so much that I'm willing to wait. To know that I will have all the pieces of the picture if I need them, and whatever it is that I need to blossom as a soul and to blossom in the part of being a companion to God, an instrument for godly service, whatever I need for that is going to come to me. It's going to come to me sooner or later. This is what it means to have faith, and this is what brings the victory. To keep my intellect stable, this kind of faith enables the intellect to stay very stable, very quiet, and therein lies our salvation. Therein lies our victory. Therein lies any hope for me to change, to bring in something new, to have some new energy circulating inside me, because the intellect is what enables me to connect to Baba. So whatever can keep my intellect quiet, whatever can keep my intellect on the side of wisdom, this is what's going to move me forward, enable me forward. And the child invites that whole kind of framework for reality. After all, a little child doesn't have the larger picture. Mommy and Daddy are her whole picture. And when Mommy says, do this, the child does this. And so really, one of the greatest aspects of cultivating my faith is that I'm going to do as Baba tells me to do, even if I haven't understood the whole picture. I'm willing to wait. I know it'll come to me. I trust. As a child, I have a different aim. I have a different framework of reality, which is to enjoy and to play and to be showered by love and to grow in that security, in the security of that love. So that's about faith. the second thing in this particular Avyakt homework is Brahma Baba's, how he used everything in a worthwhile way. And the basis of course, being able to use everything material and gross in a worthwhile way, which even includes my time, is to be able to use my subtle capacities in a worthwhile way. In other words, to master the art of using my mind, my intellect, and my sanskaras for this most godly, worthwhile task. Brahma Baba did that. If he did with his life, material possessions, what he did, it was because of what he did with the mind, the intellect, and the sanskaras. And I was seeing that there are maybe three steps to being able to use mind, intellect, and sanskaras as Baba wants us to, and as Brahma Baba did. Three steps. And all of them require, first and foremost, that I decide I want to be my own best friend. Because obviously, mind, intellect, and sanskaras are such powerful, important treasures for us. And yet, if I haven't made a decision about using them in a worthwhile way versus squandering them, then it's like less towards my own self. I'm hardly being a good friend for myself, and so how am I actually going to be able to be a good friend for anybody else? So first and foremost, I think to start this work, I have to really have enough understanding of the real and beautiful divine self within and have that desire to go to her rescue. Go to her rescue. Have that kind of mercy on myself. I should save myself from all this pollution and maya and negativity, which has just buried my internal and eternal capacity to be self-generatingly happy and well and peaceful. So three steps. The first one, I would say, is to clarify for myself and identify for myself what is it that is interfering with my ability to do what I want with my mind or my sanskaras. What is it? What particular aspect of Maya is still active in me, cutting me off from my own highest truths? So I have to be very honest about that. Because in this first step, it's about letting go. And I can't let go unless I'm very clear about the damage that Maya is doing, that particular sanskar or particular pattern of thought, the damage it's doing, and a real determination or a decision that now it's time to let it go. So, for example, I might have noticed how I still have this very criticizing nature. Or from time to time, somehow this energy takes over and I'm back in the past and having a dialogue in my mind about something that happened in the past. So this connection to the negativity, I want to let that go. This is the first step. Just being honest and making that list, and you only need to choose one. By the next day, you'll have another, and you can work on that each day, another one if necessary. But that's the first step, to let go. And then, as the expression goes, let go and let God, because that's the second step. Recently, Baba gave a very beautiful definition of concentration. My my absolute favorite definition of concentration. It means just simply to be absorbed in His love. Absorbed in His love. Because it is that light of His love, those feelings that we get, the experiences in the relationship with God that clean away those things interfering with my beauty and truth. This we really need to be clear by now. Nothing is going to do that, which is why Baba's always saying, remember me alone. It means to put myself into that feeling of my connection, my eternal connectedness to such a beautiful one. And this is where that second question comes up that I've been working with all month. What is it I love about God? What are the sanskars of God that I would really like to have for myself? Because in the second step, I'm looking to replace those sanskars that I want to let go of. I'm looking to resuscitate those sanskaras which have been repressed, the divine, the beautiful sanskaras, suppressed underneath those interfering Maya-like sanskaras. But what are they? I really feel that this is something that Brahma Baba excelled at. As I was saying before, he didn't have a model. What did he do? He really studied the sanskaras of God. He studied the sanskaras of Shiv Baba, and he succeeded in absorbing those sanskaras into himself. So it's very useful to do this. Once again, you can stop the tape and just ask yourself this question. What is it I love about God? Because in the second step of this process, we need to be very clear about what needs to be there instead of those operating mayas. So for example, one thing I notice about God, which I love so much, is His relentless positivity. God is so, so positive. He puts Himself in the middle of everything negative, everything dark. And not only is He not affected, but He proceeds to beam into the atmosphere, into the soul, me, the soul, my own heart. So much positivity, so much hope. He has so much faith in us. Baba remembers the whole cycle. And that's what Murli is about. He's just trying to get us to remember who we really are and what life is really all about. By the same token, another sanskar I really love about Baba is that he's so completely in the present. For him, truly, it is a drama, one scene after another. He's so completely separate. So completely independent. I love that about him. And I really do imagine in this second step that as much as I can focus on Baba's sanskaras and be so enamored by those sanskaras, I'm going to be colored by that. This is what's going to emerge the very same in me. So in a first step, we're letting go. In a second step, basically, we're surrendering to that love, just turning ourselves over to that love, being changed and colored by it. And in a third step, I would say absolute realization, decision, commitment that this life, on the basis of what I've understood, on the basis of my desire to be my own best friend, go to my own rescue, let go of all that stuff, really let God take over in my life, the decision that this life I am giving to God, third step, sacrifice my life. Brahma Baba did that. This life is for God. This life is for God's task, to really make that decision to die. One of my favorite slogans comes from something Mama apparently said when she was asked, Mama, what is the effort you are doing? Apparently she said, Mama's effort, I have learned to die a little every day. So this is it, to die. But it's an ongoing process in which at every moment throughout the day, I'm checking and I'm letting go and I'm surrendering. Because what does it mean to die? It means to choose life. Choose the life that Baba wants me to have. Choose the life that I want to have. A life of equanimity. A life of powerful well-being, so that my well-being actually serves to uplift and help another. A life of right feelings all the time for all. A life of being an instrument for peace, an instrument of God to create a new world. A soul-conscious life. A life of living virtue. This is what it means to die alive, to choose again and again throughout the whole day. So these three steps, by way of ultimately being able to use every thought I have in a worthwhile way, to have my sanskaras move over into their divine, original, and eternal state, and to get my intellect to start working for me instead of against me. Om Shanti.